Now, but to start off this morning, I wanted to read this comment from a listener. They say, I'm on my way to Cork taking a family member who has a hospital appointment in the South Infirmary. I don't think I'm the only one leaving Kerry today for hospital appointments in Cork. The people that are out on the road this morning to obstruct those of us who have hospital appointments or need to go to work should think about us. People are upset about the price of the pumps, but doing what they are doing this morning is not going to make an ounce of a difference. The next 12 hours are critical, and these people should be saying a prayer and lighting a candle that this war will stop. So that's one listener's view, and I'm sure other people are in a similar position as well. As Deirdre mentioned in the news, there are protests taking place and traffic started early this morning, I think in around 7 o'clock maybe, or half 7, and travelled from Tralee out as far as Castle Island. They're then moving on to Killarney and back to Tralee then. So we are going to discuss that on the show this morning, and I'd love to get your views on it, obviously, as well. And to start off this morning, I'm going to be speaking to Michael Walsh from the Irish Rural Association, and he is part of the protest. Michael, thanks for joining me this morning.
You're welcome, member.
So, Michael, tell me, I suppose, what are you doing this morning, and why did you decide to undertake this protest?
Things have gone so bad at the pumps that people can't afford diesel. And it isn't as if we can sort it some little bit of the way. The government are taking massive money out of the price of a gallon of fuel, and we're getting the story from them that it's a European directive. Well, I can tell you here now, it isn't a European directive. This was decided by the Irish government. It's in-house Irish government. If the government reduced the carbon tax or get rid of the tax, we'll just say for 3 months, it's going to cost 300 million euros. Yeah, it's a lot of money, yeah. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scale of things, it's only a drop in the ocean. And I think the most annoying thing here is the government will not listen. They have no intention of listening. We asked them, would they meet us last week? No. And now they're going meeting tomorrow. So this had to be done. This is not for farmers. This is for ordinary people burning fuel, likes of pensioners, likes of the men and women going to work. Farmers, obviously, will be hit hard. Truckers hit hard. Buses, everything could be sorted if they just sat down for 4 months and said, right, we'll give you leeway on the carbon tax. And that would actually sort it a small bit. We are not asking for the government to lose on the price of a litre of diesel. No one is asking that. Even if the tax is removed on the agricultural diesel, it's still going to cost 1.30. And that's 30 pence cents more than what it was costing before the war. Yeah. So, look, they haven't listened. They don't want to listen. So, today had to be done. And that person there that got delayed going to Cork, our apologies, sir, of course. Yeah. But we did make it quite clear, very clear, that there was a protest. And if there was anybody in trouble that needed to go faster than the thing, than the protest, that there was a lay-by and they would be accommodated. I just want to say one other thing. The Gardaí there, in fairness to them, they were very courteous to us this morning, and we were well behaved as well.
Yeah.
So, look, unfortunately, it is a protest, and look, things are going to slow down. But look, this is for everybody. This is not just for one sector of the community. It's for everybody.
Yeah. And Michael, another listener was in touch and they said it took them an hour to get from Tralee to Castle Island and they're only trying to get to work. And I know you mentioned there that you would apologise, I suppose, to the people who have the hospital appointments. It's taking people long, I suppose, and that's obviously, I suppose, kind of part of the protest or probably part of the plan of it is that it is going to cause a bit of inconvenience for people. But I suppose when it comes to those hospital appointments, they're quite important. So what would you say? And you mentioned the lay-by. Is it possible for people who are miles and miles back behind the protest to actually get into the lay-by safely?
No problem. The route was well policed by our guards and there was no problem with that issue. None whatsoever.
Okay. And you mentioned as well the government. So they have taken money off the price of the pumps. I know you're saying it's not enough. You'd like to see more taken maybe. They did say at the time, to be fair to them as well, that they would keep it under review. They'd keep consulting. And I suppose it's a changing situation, you know, an evolving situation. We don't know how long it's going to go on for. Yeah. And we don't know, you know, when an end might be in sight. Hopefully sooner rather than later. We all want to see the same resolution to, you know, the war to stop. But are you confident that in the talks tomorrow, maybe that you will see further progress? Because they have said that they will keep it under review.
We're not going into any talks tomorrow. None. If we were going in tomorrow, maybe this could have been averted. There is no talks. none with the people that are organising this. The government will not acknowledge that the country is on its knees. It's on its knees actually quite a while. And all they have to do, strike of a pin, lose 300 million. They're going to lose it anyway because people are not spending.
Yeah.
There's no money generating, and anyone will tell you that. They're not generating. And probably in 2 months' time, we'll probably have the hoteliers out because I believe there's a massive amount of cancellations on the way.
Okay.
Government have to wake up. Government have to look after the green, white and gold here and forget about any other country for a little while. We have been very generous to countries
and
we can't afford ourselves.
Yeah. Do you think it's fair, Michael, to blame the government here? I suppose they're not responsible for the war. It was caused by Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. So is it fair to lay the blame there?
Not one bit responsible. But they are responsible that they can remove the carbon tax. If they removed it for 4 months, you had 300 million given back to Irish people. And remember one thing, it was the pensioners that built this country. And now look what's happened. I had a woman 3 days ago, and everyone knows this, her fill has gone up double. That woman worked all her life. And here we have a carbon tax. And actually that carbon tax is not working. That will work for the rich people, but it won't work for the normal Joe sort like myself. That's targeted a certain area. Look, Micheál Martin and Simon, they either have to go or listen to the people of the country. And if they don't do that, well, look, this is not ending today. There's a few overnights in Dublin. And when you hit the capital and it hits people's pocket, well, maybe a bit of pressure might come on.
Okay. And I know you mentioned as well, so you took off from Tralee, you went as far as Castle Island. I think you're probably en route to Killarney. Are you at the moment, or what stage are you at in the protest, Michael?
I'm actually not en route because I said, look, when I had a few complaints, I said, look, I'll be one less out of the way. But I think with the last 5 years, Irish Rural Association and the Milltown 23 group, which is a group made up of MEPs, TDs, farm organisations, I think we had our bit done coming up to today anyway. But look, I was delighted to join the protest. A lot of our members were there. A lot of business people were there. A lot of people that are feeling the pinch are there. And this government just wants to turn their... It looks like the government want to turn their back. We're now being ruled by Europe. I mean, down the road, in the nature restoration, I know I'm diverting off and things, down the road in the nature restoration law, we are going to lose 2 million acres, the size of Cork City. It's peaty soil land. The best of animals came from that land. Actually, before Christmas, Irish Steak won the best, won the top award in the world for their meat. Those cattle came off of that land. People got the extra few pounds to keep going off that land, to send the child to college or whatever. Now, that land will not be used again. And here's the biggest thing about it is no financial support package has been put up. Bordnamona and Quilta have pulled on their initial promise of 60,000 hectares. So that's gone out the door.
Yeah. We're running a bit short on time, and I know, as you said, that's kind of a different issue for another day, but we might talk to you about that in the future again. But thank you very much, Michael, for coming on the show this morning. That's Michael Watt of the Irish Rural Association.
Thank you, Amber.
Thanks very much.
God bless.
Michael Walsh from the Irish Rural Association talking to me there about the protest, and I would love to get your views on it. We have a lot of comments coming in already. So one listener says today's protest is not helping anyone. It's only causing problems to loads of people trying to get to work, to make hospital appointments. And as for the claim that they're helping pensioners, nobody is going to help the pensioners, only ourselves by tightening our belts. So that's one listener's view. We're going to move on to our next piece now, and that is, I suppose, the latest in the controversy in the Middle East and the behaviours, I suppose, that are going on there and the impact that it's having, the wider impact that it's having as well. And to speak about this in a little bit more detail, I'm delighted to be joined now by Ireland South and Fine Gael MEP, Sean Kelly. Sean, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Amber. Nice to be with you from Brussels.
Lovely to talk to you this morning, Sean. So I suppose to start off, Sean, the latest in terms of what's happening here on the ground, as I'm sure you're well aware, there's a convoy of fuel protesters. They're making their way throughout all parts of the country, but the county here as well. So they left Tralee early this morning and headed towards Castle Island and on to Killarney then before returning back to Tralee. What's your view on it?
Well, it's understandable because the cost of fuel has gone up dramatically, and particularly people whose livelihoods are dependent on it, like hauliers and coach hire, etc., all those are finding it very hard at the moment. But it's a global problem, unfortunately, and we have to do our best to manage it, and obviously to give them some relief, which the government are trying to do, to get them over this difficulty. But the problem is we don't know how long it's going to go on, and particularly what's going to happen when Donald Trump's deadline expires tonight. Things could get worse, and then we could be in a worse situation because we could have a shortage, as well as a price, a shortage of oil and gas, as well as a price increase. There's already 20% reduction going through the Strait of Hormuz, so that obviously has an impact on prices, and it's an unfortunate situation, but let's see how it pans out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I spoke to Michael Walter, the Irish Rural Association. He was part of the protest for a while this morning, and he was quite critical of the government, but also of the EU as well. What's your view on that, I suppose, because obviously this is a conflict not of your making?
Well, really, you can't really be blaming the government. You can't really be blaming Europe. They didn't cause the problem. The cause of the problem has been caused elsewhere. And unfortunately, it's something I think, first of all, we've got to realise might happen again, because we had it in 73, we had it in 90, we had it in 2022, now 4 years later, 26. And the European Union are looking at that now. They're going to look at a toolbox of measures, I think, in the next few days, particularly looking at windfall taxes. Some companies made huge profits when the prices went up in 2022, I think, so that has to be looked at. They're looking at what they call contracts for differences and power purchase agreements to make it easier for companies. Obviously, the grid tariffs, that's something they have to look at, and maybe also electricity taxes, and of course the ADA rules. So we're expecting a package of measures at European level to deal with this pretty soon. So, as I said, it is understandable that people are frustrated, but it's not the government's fault, it's not Europe's fault. They're doing their best to try and deal with the situation as it develops.
Absolutely, and it's important, I suppose, that that package of measures come into place. But I saw an article over the recent days, over the weekend, Sean, as well, and it said that EU officials are urging governments to avoid excessive support to offset surging energy prices, because they're warned that the shock triggered by the war in Iran could tip into a fiscal crisis. What's your own view on that?
It could, and it's something to be very careful of, because while everybody is looking to governments to bail them out, at the same time, governments have to ensure that their fiscal situation is robust. And if you go into too much debt, you could go bust, as happened to us in 2008. So it's a question of balancing it and managing it. And particularly, I think, having measures that won't last forever. That's the key. If things stabilise, obviously, then you would be in a different situation. But sometimes when governments give supports, first of all, the opposition will say it isn't enough, no matter what it is. Secondly, when it comes to an end, they'll say it should go on longer and forever. But not enough people are looking at the overall package and the overall situation of a government's financial position. And while we're quite strong at the minute, that's not going to last forever if we do not manage it properly. So I think the onus is on the government to balance it, to help obviously with those who are most affected right now. And also, I think, not to be introducing across the board measures either. I remember the last time we had the crisis, there was a relief for everybody, and some people didn't need it, others needed it more. So I think it's kind of a means testing should be probably considered as well, because there isn't much point in giving relief right across the board to those who don't need it, and not giving enough then to those who need it more. So I think those things should be looked at. But of course, the long-term solution here is we have to have 100% renewables as soon as possible in Ireland, and also maybe utilise whatever resources we have. We didn't utilise Corrib. There's a field in the Corrib gas field which isn't utilised because we had this strange policy of leaving it in the ground. The same in Barry Roe of Cork. We said we'd leave it in the ground. ground, but we'd leave it in the ground here, but we'd take it out of the ground somewhere else, and then we'd import it into Ireland, which made no sense. It was supposed to save the planet, but to me, how can you save the planet by actually increasing emissions when you take it out of the ground in Qatar or Kuwait or Russia or wherever and bring it to Ireland? So those things need to be looked at as well. You have to be practical and sensible and do what you can to try and establish some type of independence for us, because that's the long-term solution.
Yeah, because the protesters, they do have a point, don't they? Because about 55% of the price of a litre of unleaded petrol is taxed, and about 50% of a litre of diesel is taxed. So it's broken down in Ireland. The tax on petrol and diesel has a fixed and variable component, which can alter the prices that we do see at the pump. So mineral oil tax is a fixed component, and it's made up of carbon tax and excise or duty. So they do have a point as well, those protesters.
They do it fairness-like, and they're affected very badly. And if you take, for instance, agricultural contractors, there's now coming into the prime season when they'll be utilising day and night every single moment they have to try and get silage done and everything else done. And the same for everyone else who's on the road constantly. So they had over point, and I think that's why I'm saying the measures should be targeted to those who need them most. And especially now, we're going to be in a difficult situation because we're coming into the least windy time of the year as well, so the wind energy will be lower than what we would have during the winter. But ultimately, if we're not going to really speed up renewables, why wouldn't we have solar panels in every shed in the country? That's, we should have a target of doing that within 10 years and not having endless planning appeals, endless judicial reviews, endless this, endless that, stopping every single project. If it's in the public good, which most of these are, then at least they deserve to have a decision made in a very short space of time and not dragged out for years and years.
Yeah, we're very short on time, but I just want to put one point to you before we finish up, Sean Kelly, please. Donald Trump, he's threatening to wipe out all of Iran's bridges and power plants within 4 hours if a peace deal isn't reached, and that deadline is tonight. How worrying is that?
Very worrying, because he's backed himself into a corner, and if he perseveres in this, it will be a war crime. I think he'd isolate the US completely and could lead to a terrible situation, I think, there, because you can see what's happening at the moment. China and India are trying to do deals with Iran to get through their Strait of Hormuz, and that would make a very polarised situation worldwide. So hopefully it won't come to that, that they might be able to come to some agreement to allow things to calm down and maybe work out an agreement long term so that this won't happen. But you'd never know. Donald Trump is very volatile, but at the same time, hopefully he'd have enough sense not to push that button, because if he does, God only knows what would happen. That would be terrible for all of us.
Absolutely. Well, that's Ireland South and Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly. Thank you for joining me this morning.